in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory be to God. I have a word from the Lord for us today, and it's a declaration from Him. He said, I will do a new thing. I don't know if you believe that. I believe it, and I'm expectant. The Lord said, I will do a new thing. Let's read this scripture in Isaiah 43 from verse 18 to 19. We'll read from the NKJV, and then we'll also read from the TPT. Isaiah 43 from 18 to 19. We'll read a couple of scriptures. I'll talk a bit. We'll read scriptures. You know, it will be a blessed time. It says, do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. How many of you believe that? It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. And he said, behold, I will do a new thing. Let's read the TPT version. I can read it from here. It says, stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember those former things. I am doing something new, something brand new, something unheard of. Even now, it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? That's the question. I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert. This is the word of the Lord to us. I will do a new thing. And when we think about newness, you may consider it as a new beginning, a fresh start, a refreshing, getting a new house, getting a brand new spouse, getting open doors, promotions, whatever newness means to you. God is able to do it, and He's declaring that I will do a new thing. And I'm here for it, because what that scripture is saying, if you pay attention, it says, do not remember the former things. Earlier in that scripture, if you read from the beginning, you will see that God was recounting the things He did for the children of Israel, how He delivered them from captivity, how He parted the Red Sea, how their enemies were drowned, and how He did wondrous things in their lives, that even surrounding nations, when they heard about the things that God did in their lives, they were terrified, because they said, these people, they have backing. They have God on their side. But He's saying, forget about those things. You may have recounted the things that God has done in your life, and you're grateful. We are thankful. But He's saying, don't remember, don't keep that thing in focus, because I'm about to blow your mind. I'm about to do something new. The other day I was listening to a story about a woman who had had a child before, and she didn't think she would get married. She waited, trusted, lost hope, had hope again. And she, when it was time for her to get married, she got married. She not only get married to someone who maybe had other children or was a widow or something, she got married to a brand new husband that had never been married before. That had never been married before. Talk about, I don't hear that all the time. But God did it. That same God that did it, He will do it for you, whatever it is. Because she had a history. Now, when scripture is telling us this thing, we have to also apply spirit sense to it, right? When God is saying forget about those things, it could also include your past failures. When you feel disappointed, you failed on something, the Lord is saying, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Beginning a new thing, or the newness of God, is not anything new. It's not a strange thing, because God Himself, He can never get old. We call Him the Ancient of Days, but His mercies are new every morning. Bible says in Lamentations 3:23, we can read that. Lamentations 3:23. It says, because of the mercies of the Lord, or His loving kindness toward us, it says His mercies are new every morning. Let me open it up. Lamentations 3:23. It says, verse 22 says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's the greatness of God. I mean, I don't know how many of us can come up with something new every day. Sometimes my children are like, oh, what are we eating today? And I tell them, what is on the timetable? Right? They want something new. We all crave for something new. We want a fresh beginning. The other day, I had some friends come over and I was like, okay, initially we said, should we come to your place or do you want to come to our place? And I was like, I can do anything. And when the mother asked the kids, they said, no, let's go. I said, even your own house, as comfortable as it is, you always want something new. We want a change of environment. You want something, the old or the regular becomes so stale, and you need a fresh. The freshness you need, you desire, the Lord God is going to do it for you in the name of Jesus. When we talk about newness, we are talking about being relevant, being up to date. If someone has a car for many years, it might still be functional, but you want something that's up to date, that can connect with your phone, that can, you know, be a little bit intelligent, a smart car. Also in life, you also need an upgrade. You can't stay on your old knowledge. You can't stay on what you've always known. You have to, and I'm getting to that, because God will do a new thing, but sometimes he's calling us to also respond by doing a new thing, by walking on the path or treading on the path of the unfamiliar sometimes, to get the attention of God, to take you out of the path that you've always been to the new path he wants to take you to. So I'm still establishing the fact that newness is not anything new to God. Doing something new is his regular. The Bible says also in Revelations chapter 21, 5 to 6. Revelations 21, 5 to 6. It says, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. As I'm saying these things, I want you to write it down. I want you to register it in your heart. You know, Habakkuk was saying, write the vision, make it plain so that you will run. Because sometimes when you go through things, things come at you, what someone said, the situations of life, when life is life thin, you need to hold on to what God has said. God is saying, as he has said, that he will make all things new. He says, write it down. I am the Alpha and the Omega. When you need to hold on to a word or the assurance of the fact that a word will come to pass, is the person who said it. If I told someone that I was going to give them $20, believe that I will give them because I have it. And in the name of Jesus, there will never be a time where I will not have $20. Amen. If someone says, I will give you $1,000. Sometimes you will size them up before you believe what they said. So God, who has said here, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who has the cattle on 1,000 hills, the one who is the great provider, the great physician, the all-sufficient one, he says, I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And in the previous verse, it says, write it down. It means that you can take it to the bank. It says, because these words are true and faithful. And the Lord is bringing it to pass in your life in the name of Jesus. He's the fountain that never runs dry. One more scripture before I go to the next section. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, talking about the newness of life and how it is God's desire for us to always walk in newness. Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And the familiar scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Newness also means refreshing. From that Revelation chapter 6, we saw here that I will give fountain of water, I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. And Isaiah 44 verse 3 says, I will pour refreshing water to the thirsty and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your children, my blessing upon your descendants. And I want to say here, by the grace of God, that the newness that you are about to receive is not only for you, it's for your children and for your children's children in Jesus' name. Isaiah 44 verse 3, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. As I was meditating on this scripture, you know, we also established that God is, he's the fountain of life, the fountain that never runs dry. And so when you see a dry ground or a dry farmland, what comes to you is, yeah, it should be watered, right? But there's another thing there that the Holy Spirit pointed to me. The thirst, the desire. He says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I think that sometimes we're so used to our usual, casual, normal, that we're just not wanting for more. Or it could be that we feel defeated, or we're so used to the situation, that sickness, that illness, and you're like, okay, I've been coping with it, so it's all good. But I want you to keep hope alive this morning. I want you to believe that God said he would do a new thing. And you might have heard it before, but this is the word of the Lord for you today. He says, I will do a new thing. He says he will make rivers of water in the desert places. You know, usually in the desert place, as what I heard, you know, I read, I've not been to a desert before, is that there's a body of water, like, oh, what's it called? Oasis. Yes. That's normal, right? It's normal to find that according to nature. But what God is saying here is that he will make rivers in the desert place. That is not normal. That is a new thing. So in the name of Jesus, you will see a new thing in your life, a new good thing in the name of Jesus. But you have to keep hope alive. You have to be thirsty. As I mentioned, God said, I will do a new thing, but it should also be to you to say, I will do a new thing. What is the new thing you will do to experience the newness of God? It cannot be status quo. There's something you need to do. You might want to believe again. You might want to try again. You might want to study again. But I want you at the back of your mind to be thinking, God said he will do a new thing. I will also do a new thing. I will partner with God. I will partner with God. Because if you look at that scripture, let's go back again to Isaiah 43. There is an instruction there. God was telling them the history of what he had done and how far he had brought them. But he gave them an instruction. He says, do not remember the former things. Do not hold on to the past. That's what the TPT version said. There was an action. There was something he was expecting from them. So even as we believe and trust God for the new thing that he wants to do, he's also calling us to new things in how we believe, how we transact, how we live our lives. Amen. So I just want to go through a couple of things, a couple of new things that we can do. We must keep hope alive. A new day has a new hope, new possibilities, and we must not give up. I want to establish this by reading a story that a lot of us are familiar with. It's a long read, but it's from 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. And please pay attention to some things as we'll go back to it. 2 Kings chapter 7. So we'll start from 1. I think it's showing chapter 7 now. So 2 Kings 7, and we'll start from 1, and we're reading all the way to the end. I think it's an interesting story, so you shouldn't be bored. So can we start from the beginning, or can start from here? Okay. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seer of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Look, if God will make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." That is not our portion in Jesus' name. Verse 3 says, "Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die.'" As if death is something to put "only" before. But they said, "We'll only die." That's the worst thing that can happen, right? Verse 5 said, "And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there." The Lord will pleasantly surprise you in Jesus' name. "For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of the great army. So they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us.' Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys. And they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing. And they went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, 'We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household.' So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, 'We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there. Not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied, and the tents intact.' And the gatekeepers called out, and they called out and told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose in the night and said to the servants, 'Let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us.'" This was the king speaking. "They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city.'" Basically, he was trying to say that they are setting a trap for them to fall into, so that they can take over their city. And verse 13 says, "And one of the servants answered and said, 'Please, let several men take 5 of the remaining horses which we have left in the city.'" That was all they had. So they said, "Look, they may either become like the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see." Basically, let us take a risk with what we have to go see what is happening out there. Therefore, they took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, "Go and see." And they went after them to the Jordan, and indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons, which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So indeed, a seer of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seers of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Someone say, "According to the word of the Lord." Say it again, "According to the word of the Lord." Now the king had appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. Oh, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened, just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two seahs of barley for a shekel and a seah of fine flour for a shekel shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. Then that officer had answered the man of God and said, now look, if God would make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, and you shall not eat of it. And so it happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. It was an interesting story, ended good for some, ended sad for that officer. But I want to point out some certain things in this scripture. First of all, it was the Lord that said something through Elisha. And Elisha believed it enough. He had hope enough because there was siege in the town. They were surrounded by their enemies. They couldn't go out. They couldn't come in. They didn't have food. There was famine in the land. And out of all of that disappointment, he basically was forgetting the former things. And he said, this is what the Lord said. He will do a new thing. Something that you cannot believe. And it sounded so unbelievable that the person who was beside, standing by the king, said, there is nothing that can happen. Even if the windows are opened in heaven, this cannot happen. And so when I come as a child of God, as the person that God has assigned to proclaim to you that he said he would do a new thing, I don't want you to have doubt in your mind. I want you to believe, because it is the word of the Lord. It is what he laid on my heart to share, that he would do a new thing. How many of us believe that he would do a new thing? And he will. As we read in that scripture, it said, according to the word of God, it happened. It happened. But you know that he declared the word of the Lord, but there were two people, sets of people who heard it. There was someone who heard it and doubted and even said it. You know, so something, when you have something doubt in your heart, you may not say exactly the same thing. I think I'll get to that point. Maybe the Lord wants me to say it now. In Ezekiel 37, when the Lord brought Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones, he asked him, can these bones live? They were dry. He said, only you, Lord, know. Because he's like, I can't really answer directly that he cannot. But if God should ask you a question, it means he has something in mind. If God says, oh, can you still get married again? Can you still thrive? Can you ever be out of debt? If he says, if he's asking you that question, or if that question comes to mind, let God be the person to answer that question. Do not answer it by saying, even if all the possibilities, because that officer that was standing by the king gave all the possibilities. How many of you have ever seen the windows of heaven open? Like literally. So he had the imagination to think that that could happen. But he didn't have the imagination to believe that God could do it. That was basically like mocking God. Because you are painting an unrealistic picture. I say, even if, I don't know what even if you have said in your heart. I want you to believe, and I'm saying it again, as it was ministered to me, the Lord said, I will do a new thing. And he will do a new thing in your life. You will see it. You will taste it. You will not be like that officer that was trampled on. In the name of Jesus. Let's read Isaiah chapter 60. So the first step I'm saying here is have a new hope. Have expectation. Let your hope be revived again. Say no to depression. Say no to impossibilities. Because God has said, I will do a new thing. Isaiah 61. Let's read it from the Amplified Version. Because it has some words there that I feel the Lord wants us to listen to. So if you read the Amplified Version from Isaiah 60. From verse 1 to 5. And I want you to take your blessing. It says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come. Amen. And the glory has risen on you. The next verse, For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all peoples. But the Lord shall arise on you, O Jerusalem, O Temitope, and his glory shall be seen on you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about you and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried and nursed in the arms. Amen. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and tremble with joy at the glorious deliverance, and be enlarged, because the abundant wealth of the Dead Sea shall be turned to you. Unto you shall the nations come with their treasures. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, there is a divine turnaround in your favor in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that word. It says, say no to depression, whatever may have bowed you down. Pastor was talking last week about that woman. She was a covenant woman. She was a daughter of Abraham. She was a daughter of the Lord. But she was bowed down. She was used to that situation. And the thing angered the Lord. And the Lord said, straighten up. That was a new thing he did. He even did it on the Sabbath. That the people were offended. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, whatever will be an offense to people that will make them say, oh, remain in that situation, that desire will not prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. You are coming out from that bad situation, coming out from depression in the mighty name of Jesus. It doesn't matter who likes it or not. Your victory is here. Your deliverance is here. Your glory is here. You will arise and shine in the name of Jesus. So have new hope. Have new expectations. Trust the Lord. It seems like the year, a lot of it has gone by, but there's still a lot that can happen this year. Believe. Hope again. The next thing I'll say is have new faith, because hope is different from faith. Faith is an active word. It's not just, oh, I believe. The Bible says in Hebrews 11. Now faith, let's read it before I misquote. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there's substance to your hope. Faith gives substance to your hope. And hope is not just, hope is all right, it keeps you going, but faith gives you a possession. Faith lets you lay hold on what God has for you. Many times in scripture, when Jesus will heal people, he will tell them, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say your hope has made you whole. And a lot of times, the things that they said or did at that time, it showed that they did not just hope. They had faith. They believed and they took action. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she said to herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And when they had the conversation after that, Jesus told her, your faith has made you whole. When you tell me you have faith, you can show me your faith by your actions. What new action will I take? The Lord has said, I will do a new thing. And we have said we will agree with him and partner with him by saying, I will do a new thing. How are you going to demonstrate your faith? What is the new action you will take? I want you to be an unrepentant believer in the power of God and in the miraculous. I want you to say, I will not give up. I will keep at it. I will keep acting in faith until I'll see my breakthrough. The next thing I will say is kind of part of having new faith in taking actions is your words, the things you say. When you have faith, your conversations, how you respond goes a long way to determine what is in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, so the Bible says. We could tell exactly what was in the officer's heart when he heard the word of the Lord. He said, even if, he gave excuses. He practically excluded himself from the miracle. He said it with his mouth. That was something Ezekiel did not do. In that scripture, in Ezekiel 37, you can read it when you get home. The Lord brought him to a valley of dry bones, and he asked him, can these dry bones live? And he said, Lord, only you know. But what did God tell him? We can read it. What did God tell him? He says, prophesy. That is the new thing that the Lord wants you to do. Part of it might be to prophesy. That's the new thing. You've been complaining. But we have to realize that our words are not just for describing and complaining. They are for creating. Our words are for creating. I'm just saying how I feel. It's just the situation right now. I'm so depressed. This is too much for me. No, I am strengthened by the Lord. The Lord will help me. He is my glory. He's the lifter of my head. That is what you should be saying as a child of God. Your words will show your faith. Your words will show your faith. Let's read that scripture in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. And sometimes if you don't have it in your spirit or you don't know, you might feel confused. And that's why you have to download the scriptures, download the word of God. Let it come into your spirit so that is what bubbles out. Sometimes you have to catch yourself in the middle of things. Like we've taught to communicate by just speaking things and describing things. That's how we do, right? That we learned it from school. We learned it at home. We say, okay, what do you want? You describe. Oh, you say you are hungry. But this is teaching in the faith, whereby we are taught that our words are just not for communication, but for creation. I'll read this and I'll read Genesis chapter 1. In Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord, verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit and set me in the midst of the valley that was full of bones. Then he caused me to bypass them. I read verse 3, and he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, oh Lord, you know. That was a wise response. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, all dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's how you will say concerning your situation, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said he will do a new thing and he will make rivers of water in the desert places. And so even when it seems like there is no way, open up, for the Lord has said he will do a new thing. That is you echoing, re-echoing what the Lord has said. Lending a voice, partnering with the Lord. That is the new thing the Lord is requiring of you today. That is what the Lord told Ezekiel. He said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, say this, I'm giving you the word. So when you find scripture that is concerning you, concerning promises God has said concerning you, you already have the approval because you are saying what God has already said. He says, say to the dry bones, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And as you read on, you will see that everything started to come together. Everything started to come together. The bones, the skin, and those bones became an army. Hallelujah. And then I'll read Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, the book of beginnings, the book of new beginnings. God saw that the earth was without form and void. Verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we saw different areas. If you read through, God said, as he was saying, things were getting created. Things started moving. And you have the same spirit. He created you in his image and in his likeness. You know, when some things happen, some bad things happen, we say, oh, I said it, right? Have you heard people say that? I said it will happen. Because they said it happened. So why not say, I am prosperous? Why not say, I am healed? Why not say, I am an overcomer? And then when you get there, you say, I said it. Didn't I tell you that it may seem like there's no way that will come? But I said it. according to the word of the Lord. And I'm standing in the midst of it. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus. As you open your mouth to declare the word of the Lord, you will stand in the midst of those promises fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus. We need to be careful about what we say. And if you've said the wrong thing, that's okay. We can start from now saying the right things according to the word of the Lord. Amen. Even Jesus, when he was faced with performing a miracle, he lifted up the boy's lunch and thanked the Lord for it. Your thanksgiving is an expression of your faith in the Lord. I'll read this scripture in Job chapter 14. There was something that was on my mind, but I've forgotten. I think I got too excited. This was when Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew what he was going to do, but he went there anyway. But let us hear what he told Martha. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, Martha was the one that was at the feet of, was in the kitchen when Mary was at the feet of Jesus. You know how it's interesting that we seem to just, we sometimes capitalize on the wrongs of people or things that people rebuke, and we forget to remember the right things that they did. This was something I found. I was like, how come people don't talk about this? So, you know, the first question to him was, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Because Jesus was very, very close to the family. He would come there. And they said, oh, we sent message to you. You didn't come. If you had come, you know, he wouldn't have died. Let me read what Martha said. This is in John chapter 11. Trying to find the part where she said, even now. Okay. 42. I heard someone say 21. Someone say 22. Okay, let me see if I can find it. Okay, 21. Thank you. I'm not sure who said it, but thank you for pointing me. 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. He says, but even now, that whatever, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She was a woman of faith. Yes, she was a busy person, but she was a woman of faith. She believed in Jesus. And he said to her, your brother will rise again. I don't know what may seem like is a dead situation. You can say, even now, as Pastor Tokwa is declaring the word of the Lord, that you said you would do a new thing. I know that as I trust you, there will be a turnaround in this situation. She said it with her mouth. That was her belief. What are you saying? Your new words or the new thing you should do this season should be, I will only declare the word of the Lord. I will only declare what he says about me. I will only declare what he says about the situation. I will only declare that I will indeed see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, that's what the psalmist said. He says, I would have fainted. I would have lost hope, except that I believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm not sure about you. Even Job, when he was in a situation that seemed hopeless, I want to read what he said and then we'll close. In Job chapter 14, verse 7, it says, for there is hope for a tree. Even if it is cut down, it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots it will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet, can someone say yet, at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. And we all know that as Christians, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Can that tree ever die? No. And so in the name of Jesus, anything that is connected to you, because we are connected to Christ, right? So anything that's connected to you, those things will not die. Those good things, only the bad things will die. The good things will not die. They will bud and they will flourish in the mighty name of Jesus. Job said earlier in Job, if you go later down, sorry, in that scripture, Job 14:14. Let's read that. Job 14:14. He says, I will say, he was resolute in his faith and belief in the Lord. If a man dies, shall he live again? He says, all my days of hard service, I will wait till my change comes. That is, and did his change come? Did he receive restoration? Did he receive newness? Did the Lord do great things in his life? He had more children than he had before. He had beauty. He had all restoration, double than what he had before. And so there's going to be double for your trouble in the name of Jesus. The Lord is going to give you a new song. He's going to give you something to celebrate about as you think about as you decide yourself that I'm going to do a new thing. I am going to do a new thing. Even in your marriages, I want you to believe that the Lord is giving me a new marriage. Not that you are marrying someone else, but you are sowing new seeds in kindness, in compassion. And the Lord is bringing newness to your home in the name of Jesus. I want you to bow down your heads and thank God for the new beginning that he has brought to you. And I want you to reflect on all that I've said today. And think, what is the new thing that I will do? God has said, I will do a new thing. And I believe it. I am here for it. I am here for it. And I will participate by doing a new thing. And as I participate in doing a new thing, I will sing a new song. In the name of Jesus. So I want you to talk to the Lord while we're doing that. If there's anybody here, you haven't given your heart to Jesus, just meaning that you're trusting in the finished work of Jesus, just meaning that you trust Jesus to be your Savior. He paid the price for you. We all sinned and fell short of his glory, but his blood brought us near. His blood was shed for you and I, and all we need to do is accept it. We just need to say, Jesus, I believe. I believe what you did. If there's anyone that has never said, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I trust you to save me. Jesus, I know that you love me. If you know you haven't done that, I want you to just wave your hands. If you want to do that right now, if you want to do that right now, just wave your hands. If you want to say, Jesus, I trust you to save me. I trust you to be my Lord. Now, I don't see any hands. I want you to tell the Lord, I receive this new beginning, this new thing that you want to do in my life. I receive it. And I partner with you in my faith, in my belief, in the things that I say, in the actions that I take. I partner with you. And I will experience your newness. I walk in the newness of life. In the mighty name of Jesus, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is walking on my inside and is providing proofs in different areas of my life, in my health, in my finances, in my ministry, in my parenting, in my marriage, in my business, in my relationships, every aspect, because I am joined to Christ. He is the vine and I am the branches. Anything connected to me as a branch is flourishing and thriving in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to tell the Lord, I want you to be a prophet over your own life and destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I give you thanks and give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Father, we want to say thank you for the word that you've given us today. Thank you, Lord, because your promises are yes and amen. You said, I will do a new thing. And Lord God, we're here for it. We will see it. We will behold it. We will taste it. We will not be like that officer that did not believe. And in the name of Jesus, our mouths will sing a new song to your glory and to your praise in Jesus' name. I just remembered one thought that I didn't mention here before we go to what's next on the agenda. You know, when those lepers were at the gate, you know, the word of God had already gone and said, okay, this was going to happen. Some people believed, some people did not believe. Of course, Elisha believed, so he declared it. But if you read the story again, you will see that when the lepers took that step to go into the camp of the Syrians, they said at twilight. And it was at twilight that the Lord caused the Syrian army to hear commotion, to hear something, and then they ran out of their camp. If they had not moved, I don't believe that those Syrian people would have heard commotion and run away. I don't believe so. If they did not take that step of faith. You know, sometimes the miraculous is just waiting for us to just take that step. You know, they had their lives. I won't say they didn't have anything to lose, but what they put there was like, we will only die. Maybe the Lord wants to inspire you to make that investment. That's all that will happen. Sometimes when we invest time or money or things, we feel like there's a sense of loss. But what you don't know is that you are moving closer to your miracle. And the Lord is going ahead to put things together. Remember when Elisha was, when Ezekiel started speaking the word of the Lord, the bones connected. The same thing, when you decide to take action, by taking action, things begin to come together. Just like the Syrian army, they began to hear. I don't believe that the scripture was deceiving us when it says at twilight, at the same moment as they decided they were going to go. That was at the same moment that the enemies heard something because of their action of faith. I pray in the name of Jesus, as you have asked for grace to do that new thing that God has called you to do, things are set in motion. The dots are connecting in the mighty name of Jesus. And everything is working in your favor in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Were you blessed this morning?